Hi, I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Hillary Walsh. Welcome to Let's Get Rich. This is a podcast for entrepreneurs who are growing law firms so that they can live rich lives and leave rich legacies.
In each episode, we'll provide action steps to help you get unstuck, beat distraction, and find freedom.
Let's get rich.
Let's get rich.
What's up, my friends? Welcome back.
Welcome to
our season finale.
This is exciting.
So exciting. I have been working on my health because wealth is one of my new core values. Did you know that?
Wealth or health?
Wealth.
I did not know that.
Yes, wealth. But I realized, so like, you know how wonder is one of my, is like my main core value,
yeah.
Wonder. But for the longest time, I used to call it innovation. But innovation is not very exciting and optimistic and wonderful. And so I changed it to wonder because it encompasses innovation and curiosity and optimism and all those wonderful things. And then I realized that excellence is important. And it is so one of my core values. But as I really looked at working on my health, I realized that what is wealth to me? And the most important thing of being air quote wealthy and having wealth is not money. It is very helpful if you have money. But it is actually health. And so in working on my fitness has been going kind of through that journey. And it made me think of Alex Hormozi and the theory of constraints, which we had a whole meeting about today in the business.
That is so true. And I love talking about core values,
which is
exciting.
A roundabout way to get to the point of our podcast today.
I also love talking about health too. So that's fun. We can revisit that later. But I'm big on your health span matching your lifespan. And that is, you want to be healthy until the day you die rather than, you know, you don't want to live to 130, but be miserable for 60 years. And you don't want to be the healthiest person on earth, but die at 35. So health span matching lifespan.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. That is a measure of wealth is having your health span match your lifespan.
Yeah. It's so important to me. And it's not been something that I've emphasized, but I decided if I start living my life in alignment with that as one of my core values, if I actually believe that I want to be active and fit when I'm 85, 90 years old, then here as I close the chapter on my 30s and start my 40s in March, I really had to start living in alignment with that. So making that a very high priority. Like if you give me a financial goal, then I'm going to run toward it. But what's the point in having money if you're just investing it and you're going to die miserable?
I like looking at health from a health span or lifespan rather than a, you know, trying to have six pack abs by the summer or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that is not the topic of today's
theory
podcast.
Theory of constraints.
Theory
so
of
I
constraints.
Watched, I had never heard of the theory of constraints until I was watching an Alex Hormozi, like Instagram video or some type of like thing. And he was talking about how it doesn't matter how strong your body is. So like, it doesn't matter how much your legs can lift. It doesn't matter how much your arms can lift if you can't hold the weights in your hands because you don't have a strong enough grip. And that is in his way of describing a theory of constraint. And now that I am lifting weights this morning when I was doing curls and I was doing those like tricep things, I'm using the
TRX
system. And all of that is very much like you're in the claw position and you have to hang on because it's a trust fall with your body weight that you're using for everything. And I realized how flimsy my grip is. And that is, you know, right now also matching my leg strength. But in the future, if I weren't working my grip, I wouldn't be able to do other things regardless of how strong the rest of my body parts are.
And my introduction to theory of constraints was when I was still in the military, where we use theory of constraints for a lot of different areas. And I took a class on it when I was on active duty because we would apply it specifically in the maintaining our airplanes. And the supply pipeline and those sorts of things. So like the way I visualize theory of constraints is imagine you have a hose and you turn the water on and there's water flowing through the hose. Somewhere along the way, somebody goes through and pinches the hose, right? And the water slows to a trickle. There's only one pinch in the hose. That is your constraint. And when we look at our business and we apply theory of constraints, for us right now, it's getting cases through the firm from the time someone signs up all the way until the case goes out the door.
Just from a legal perspective, you could do the same test in sales, you could do the same test in marketing, whatever.
Yeah. And the idea is there's lots of areas that you could look to improve your business, but there is likely one kink or pinch in that hose that is preventing a massive amount of water from going through the hose, of cases going through the law firm. And so if you focus your resources, your effort, your energy on that one item that is constraining your business and you fix it, it will open up the flow to more. And then in the theory of constraints, you don't stop there. You then look for the next one item that is constraining your business. And so by focusing all of your resources on one thing, you're able to fix it quicker and increase the flow of water, the flow of cases through the business.
I love your explanation. I love the hose analogy because, you know, I love an analogy. But what's great about this is it's going to help business owners with two things. One is I get very tired, I think, or get frustrated, or I feel like I'm on like an endless cycle of always going from one thing to the next and fixing things. I'm the person who's going in and always fixing the broken thing. Well, under the theory of constraints, that's always going to be there. So this isn't something that's wrong with you or something that's wrong with your business. It's actually just part of the process. Something is always going to need to be fixed. It's not necessarily that it's broken. It's just that there's a kink in the hose right there, and that right now that's the targeted thing. And so that helps with a mindset aspect. This is an ongoing process. And yes, you're going to have to accept that this is how it is pretty much for the rest of your business. The second thing that's really helpful about this is it will help you if you don't know where to focus your energy. So let's say there are lots and lots and lots of things that are broken, and you're like, I don't even know which one to go focus on. That is totally normal. Number one, that's totally normal. We just did this meeting this morning and there were lots of areas for improvement. But what you use with the theory of constraints is what is causing the biggest kink? What is causing the most, what is the greatest bottleneck in your system? What is the greatest constraint that if you were to fix that, and the supply is kind of the one thing rules, if I were to fix this one thing, it would make everything else easier or unnecessary. And that's by attacking this. And that's why I think it's important that you said you dedicate all your resources to fixing this one problem.
Yeah. When we walked through it this morning, we specifically took one case type. We offer lots of different case types within our firm. We chose one that is our most prevalent case type.
80% of our cases.
80% of our cases. And we focused on that and we looked at the journey from the time someone sees our ad on Facebook or Google all the way until their case is filed. And we kind of walked through the journey and we assigned basically a rough timeline to it. And from when the clock starts until it's out the door, we put our goal against it of how quickly we want that case to go through. And then we looked at what we're doing right now and realistically, how long is it taking? And we found there's one area. And, you know, as a business owner, you probably already know. You probably already have an idea of what is slowing you down intuitively. But you can go back and get the data on it. And then we focus on that one area. And we did. We had one area that really is, if we took that one area and we cut it from what is now, you know, many weeks, if we could cut it to, say, 1 week, the entire rest of the case flows smoothly. And so by putting all of our focus and all of our resources on that one thing that is pulling in team members to help us solve that problem, that is setting up a whole new training, even if it's from scratch, and pouring effort into that one area, we realized there are other areas that we could improve. And we talked about them this morning. We highlighted a bunch of other smaller areas that we can improve. But if we're able to fix this one thing, and we will fix it in Q1 of 25, it's going to open up our business to, we will likely double our business just by fixing this one constraint that we have on one case type, because it will ripple into other case types and into other processes and procedures that we have. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, like I don't have a written process for these 100 different things in my business, well, focus on the one that is slowing you down, causing the kink in the flow of business through, or flow cases through your business.
And if you're like, there are so many different things, I guess I think that when you're growing your business and you don't have enough clients to really have you overwhelmed yet, you're like, I'm going to go make policies and procedures, because someday when I do have all these cases and when I do have all these clients, I'm going to need to have all the rules written out so my team can process them. And I would say, go back and listen to the podcast where we talk about what you ought to focus on depending on what your revenue is. And until you hit a certain revenue threshold per year, it's our opinion, and our experience, rather, even better than opinion, that you really shouldn't be focusing on creating policies and procedures and should instead be in the hustle, market, sell phase. And let's go to that phase, because right now what we're talking about is, for us, it's declarations. A human has to take a declaration. There's really no automating getting the declaration taken. And these are for cases that are very highly sensitive and very complicated case types. So it's not like this is just something simple where you can have someone run out and go work on it. Like taking an asylum declaration is sometimes, you know, you have a 1-year bar issue. Sometimes you have, you know, I didn't seek asylum in these other countries, or I lived in this other country for more than a year and, you know, I didn't seek asylum there, or whatever it might be. It can be very complicated to draft this declaration. That is a constraint for us. And that's a very big constraint because that slows the process down. Okay, that is where New Frontier immigration law is at right now. But in early 2020, I was the constraint on the business because every consultation was done by me. And so if you're a solo practitioner, or maybe you have a team and you're still doing all the consultations, I would ask you to consider, how many consultations can you do in a given day? And for me, it was like 7 I could do in a day. Most of the time I tried not to do more than 5 because I also had casework that I was doing. And sometimes I was in hearings. But that meant that the maximum number of people, even if every single person hired, would be a maximum of like 35 people, if every single person that week hired from every consultation. So that was the constraint on the business. And we knew that we needed to grow beyond that. I actually ended up getting sick. And I had like some weird, I had a non-cancerous tumor, had a teratoma tumor, mm-hmm. which is, if you ever Google that, you know, that's your fault. Cause it's really, it grows hair and, teeth. Yeah, I know it does. And then also, I had kidney stones that same year. And so I was like in and out of the hospital over and over. It was just a mess. And my team had to kind of pick up and start figuring out how to take care of the firm. And they ended up starting to do consultations. And Kate Lincoln Goldfinch actually helped supervise them during that time. And that was so kind of her, so that the business could keep running. But that, I realized, was a constraint that I hadn't even identified yet, because I was so diehard about like doing it myself. And that was unnecessary. I was a huge constraint on my own business's growth.
And you mentioned something earlier that I'll go back to, but you said that maybe you're just looking at bringing cases in the door right now. If you're in the hustle market sell phase, there is a constraint in there. And it could be, you might be sitting there going, how can I worry about drafting declarations when I don't even have clients? Well, then maybe your constraint is your marketing. Maybe your constraint is your sales funnel, whatever it might be. But if you put all of your resources behind that, and someday you will have a procedure for declaration drafting. But if you don't have sales coming in the door, then maybe your constraint is on the front end. Maybe it's marketing or client outreach, referral processes, all of those things. There's something in there that is preventing the flow of business, preventing the flow of cases through your business. And so, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. And maybe it's your sales process, like you just mentioned. Maybe it's your onboarding, you're, you know, bringing new clients in the door. Whatever it might be, there's likely one thing that is slowing down everything else. And the rest is not going to be perfect. But if you focus on that one thing, that will be your constraint.
And I think this pivots nicely to, as we kind of close out our season on Let's Get Rich, and just want to say thank you to all of our listeners. It's been so cool to have you all reach out and send us kind messages, and also let us know when our sound is always jacked up because we got 2 geriatric millennials running this show. But we're getting better, I think. We got a checklist now.
We do have a checklist. That was our constraint.
But our constraint in every single person's business is going to be your health. And I think that mental health is a constraint if it's not taken care of. Health, spirituality, well-being, all of those things. And as business owners, it's so easy for us to look at the numbers and look at the declarations that need to go out and look at, you know, what is it that, what is the new thing that I need to try in my business? And one of the things that How to Manage did right was, one of the parts of the law firm was the owner. And you have to take care of the owner because we're the vision caster. And that's where, like, these past few months have been frustrating for me because I, you know, sometimes just don't feel real inspired, or I feel like I'm on this hamster wheel. And like, people like me with my personality type don't like routine. And then, man, when I fall into routine, I just can't stand it. So really throwing in a lot of good vibe stuff and really prioritizing health, that's it. If I don't continue to stay inspired and excited by my business and plugged into the passion zones that are really filling my cup, it's going to inhibit my relationship with you. It's going to inhibit my relationship with myself and my business. And then you get these questions of like, I remember like being so depressed when the Barbie movie came out and was like, what was I made for? And just like really that existential, I don't know what I was made for. And I don't feel like I'm living up to that, and being so devastated by that sensation and that feeling. But when you really dedicate yourself to, if this is a theory of, this is a constraint, this is a constraint in my life, and I don't want it to be a constraint. I want to open the pathways of all the good vibes, all the energy, all the health and well-being and positive light and energy. And so I've taken a few steps. I'm going to share those. And if you're wanting to, you can talk about yours, but I started, I always go to therapy. I go to therapy once a month, just like a check-in. I have a coach. I love listening to David Nagel's podcast. I still listen to that about once a week. It's called The Successful Mind, and I think it speaks a lot of life and good things in. I started reading a book called The Magic of Thinking Big. I started reading a book called, I stopped scrolling as much, I think is what this also means. I started reading a book called Inspiration, Your Calling by Dr. Dwayne Dwyer something. He's like one of the OG mindset people. And we actually got that on a date where we went to Goodwill and just looked at books. That was our date. We got that together.
That was a good date.
It was a good date. And I also started taking NAD injections. Thank you for doing that, because I could not do that to myself. And that has helped a lot. In addition to hiring a personal trainer, I got a personal trainer twice a week. It comes to our house. So I stopped saying I was going to go to the gym, because it was a lie I was telling myself. And then I also started like really trimming the fat on negative energy, like energy vampires, and just saying, no, I'm not doing that anymore. The steps that I've taken to really embrace health, because if you don't have your health, then that's a constraint on your ability to grow.
I completely agree. This year, 2024, was a transition year for me.
Wow. Talk about a year.
Yeah. Leaving 20 plus years of being in the military and going to the civilian world and our own life. And it really, it kind of motivated me to take more control over my day to day and, you know, choosing more consciously what I do with my day, with my time. And one of the things I did was I signed up for concierge medicine, which I had looked into a little bit, and then you also ended up joining.
I jumped on board.
And what I liked about it was the place that we chose, their focus is on longevity. It's on being healthy longer. And, you know, they're not trying to make you live forever, but what they're trying to do is keep you healthy longer. So they'll start at wherever you're at today, and they'll start making recommendations. And there's lots of different offerings that they offer, and you can do as much or as little as you want. But I think it was just a huge step forward once I found, because for me, that the concierge medicine that we signed up for, that is my expert. I went out and found my subject matter expert, and I said, what should I be doing right now? So we got really in-depth blood tests.
You didn't decide how am I going to live.
Right.
You went and found someone who can tell you what to do. I love that.
Exactly. And so we found the who, and we got the really in-depth blood test on. We got a lot of information. And then they kind of offered us a menu of, here's different things that you can do, and here's how they'll help you. So, you know, it's all the way down to literally my smoothies that I have in the morning that I changed the recipe on.
I noticed it was way different.
Yeah, I added spinach, which surprisingly tastes good in a smoothie, and a bunch of other things. But, you know, it's mostly natural stuff. So it is a way to take control of my health and be more proactive in it. And I completely agree. This has been a year of change for me and a year of focusing on my health, because I recognize and I say out loud that I want to live a long, healthy life. And so if I want that, and I truly want that for my life, I need to take steps now. So anyway, with that, we're closing out the year and we're closing out the season. We really appreciate everybody for the time that you've spent with us on this podcast. We'll be back for season 2. If you have topics that you really want to hear about, please send them to us and we'll happily talk about them. And we look forward to seeing you all in the new year.
Happy, happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy holidays. Enjoy your time with your family. I hope that you have lots of health, lots of wealth, and that in the 2025, you're out there getting rich.
Let's get rich.